Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pixel Related Podcast. This is episode 12, which from Adam's estimations means we are a real podcast. We actually exist
legitimate.
Now.
We're legitimate, buddy.
I think there might be something to be said about the length of weeks it took us to get to 12, which I would guess is probably closer to like 20 weeks, maybe.
No, we did it. No, it's fine. We did it. We're good.
But anyways, but we're here, and this is a thing, and we're doing it. As always, I am your host, Kyle, and I'm joined by Adam.
Hi.
And as always, the person giggling in the background is Gus.
Hello.
That's pretty much what we have him here for. He's our built-in laugh track.
There you go.
So it's been a couple of weeks. The last podcast we did was right after the Tomb Raider and Fallout 4, and there's been a couple of cool things that have happened since then. We had the Game Awards, which is always an interesting experience about something that's more about new games than actually awarding or caring about games that have already happened. And then, of course, we have the PlayStation Experience, which is PlayStation's big old non-E3 announce a bunch of stuff thing. And, of course, there's a couple games. But the biggest thing that's happened since the last time we talked was that Adam, crazy person that he is, went on a spending spree.
I did.
What did you buy, Adam? Tell the people what you bought.
I mean, not much. I mean, I bought an Xbox One, and I bought Forza and Sunset Overdrive and Tomb Raider. I kind of went in a little bit onto this. This Xbox kick thing.
Xbox.
Is that all you
bought? Just a little bit.
Well, it's okay. So that's what he bought, but then it also came with what? Gears and Ori and Rare Replay?
Rare Replay. Yeah. Was there their holiday bundle?
So basically, I think Adam has more Xbox games than I do at this point.
For sure.
I think I have more Xbox games than a lot of people do at this point from all the people that I've seen playing on their show.
That's a solid lineup though. With the exception of Forza, which I don't really care about racing games, all those are really good games.
Yeah, I mean it's Horizon. I like Horizon a lot. So I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'll go in for Forza Horizon 2. And then I forgot that I also had claimed there was a little while ago when they had that free Forza Horizon 2 presents Fast and Furious.
Of course, yes.
I totally forgot that I had that, so I logged into my Xbox and I was like, oh, that's a surprise. Well, shit. So I got that, yeah. So I have an Xbox now. It's a really crazy world we live in.
How's it going?
I like it. I like it quite a bit. You know, I kind of always said, like, you know, when there would be enough games there that were, like, kind of exclusive, I would go in for it. And they got a solid system at this point, you know. You know, kind of, I like a lot of there's some stuff that I think is really, really snappy. I think that some of the menus in there work really well. When you get to the store, that's totally fucking broken. But I guess this is better than what it was because this is the is it the new Xbox experience? Like, I think that's the point we're at, right?
Yeah, it seems you started with the updated version of the dashboard.
Yes, so I never experienced the old one, which I've heard a lot of people go, it's way better. But I'm like, that still doesn't mean that it's particularly good. their store layout, I think, is really weird. I think it's super weird that they have all this backwards compatible stuff, and you can't get any of that on the Xbox store. That's super weird to me. But, you know, for the most part, I like it. Like, there is some really cool stuff they've got going on there. I've been playing, you know, I played around quite a bit with Gears. Like, I got through the first act with my girlfriend a couple nights ago. That game looks really good, and they just sent me my code for all the rest of them.
You get everything, yeah.
So, I mean, so now I can start playing the best one, you know, Judgment.
Adam, I have news for you, Adam.
That's made by the best company that made them. Because People Can Fly is better than Epic.
Bulletstorm is awesome.
Bulletstorm is fucking great. Bulletstorm is
great. You're not wrong there.
I hear nothing about that. But yeah, then, you know, like we got Rare Replay also. So the weird thing about this being like a pack-in deal, so I would have figured that being this pack-in deal, and they put like the terabyte hard drive in there, and I was getting Ori and the Blind Forest as it was, so I was like, this will probably all be downloadable codes. No. And then I figured, well, they'll probably be in separate boxes at least. No. Then I figured that they would at least have different disc holders for the fucking things. No. So I have this Gears of War Rare Replay double pack-in deal that has like both discs just sitting on top of each other, just fucking each other over. That's really fucking weird. But yeah, Rare Replay is great. Rare Replay is fantastic. My girlfriend has been really getting in with Viva Pinata. That was part of the reason we bought it.
Viva Pinata is great.
Yeah.
The first one or the second one?
The first one.
First one? Okay.
Yeah. What is the difference between the first and the second one? Like, is there a meaningful difference? Is it just more stuff in two? Or?
Yeah, I think that the second one, if I would probably recommend the second one, but if she's already into it, she's already into it, whatever. Because it's a lot of the same stuff. I mean, like, all the same pinatas are still in the second one, but there's just, like, optimizations and, like, a little bit extra. I mean, there's a lot of extra animals and stuff that you can do, but it's just, like, they've fixed a lot of things that are a little weird with the original one. Kind of sped it up a little bit as far as, like, how to actually manipulate land and whatnot. But I mean, it's the original Viva Pinata. I paid way more than the second one, but when I got Rare Replay and I started diving into it, I just went right to the second one because I knew that had all the crazy stuff that, you know, that I was already looking for, and I didn't really need to go back to the first
one. Right.
But they're both great.
Yeah. Yeah, and they seem like they're well-made things. You know, I got in a little bit with Jet Force Gemini. That's pretty cool. I'm glad that I finally have a way to play Jet Force Gemini. That game is definitely not great, but I played the hell out of that game. Like, you know, people talk about Rare collectathon games and like Donkey Kong being really bad. Like, that's a game that you have to play through. Like, you have to play that game almost three times in order to actually finish it, because you have to return to each of the different planets they have with all three of the different characters at some point just to grab like one of the little guys that you got to collect. And, you know, I kind of played around with a little bit of their also, like, their really old stuff. That collection is really well made. I was super, super glad to play it. And then Forza Horizon 2. Obviously, like, Forza just in general, those games look fantastic. Like, they are, you know, like, the best-looking racing games out there. I'm a big fan of the Horizon series. I don't like simulation car games. They just... I played a bit of Gran Turismo 2 back in the day, and that was kind of about it with them. But Horizon, like, it just kind of gets that mix of arcade and simulation just perfect, and it's like this big open world. Like, it really reminds me of like what the Crew tried to do, only like it actually like succeeds with that stuff.
Wow, I forgot about the Crew already. Jesus, yeah,
everybody did.
Okay.
I have the crew, and I kind of want to see what that Wild Run stuff is about, but that stuff's been out for like a month and a half, and yeah, I have no, at this point, no desire to go back with it. What else? Okay, so yeah, I got Sunset Overdrive, that game seems all right. It definitely doesn't seem as snappy as Infamous does, because I think those came out right around the same time. I like the kind of mobility that they have with that game. Like, you're kind of always moving while you're dealing with the OD, you know, their zombie things. Mm-hmm. I like that mobility. Like, that's really cool, and they set up a good combo system with it. It just seems like that combo system ends up, like, if you screw, like, one part of it up, that breaks it entirely. And you kind of just, it kind of leads you to a lot of cases where you just kind of find a zip line or you find a rail and you just kind of grind back and forth, and that increases your combo, which then increases the amount of damage you do and everything.
Yeah, I think it's sensitive. The combat was never the main thing I liked about the game. It was more the traversal and just kind of the attitude of the game, I think, was really cool.
Yeah.
That's a pretty interesting boss fight, though, but you got to get a ways into that to get into that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think I just hit the point where, like, you're dealing with the weird college kids that you have to deal with, like, that whole thing. Yeah, that stuff was actually, that hit, I think, better than what I was expecting it to.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I thought it was going to be, stupid humor, and it's got the right amount of, it knows what it is, that it's okay.
Yeah, the fact that it's, this superhero game where, you're going around, I got, a luchador mask, a Hawaiian shirt, and some sandals, which is basically me in real life. I feel like that is perfect, you know? It's fun, it's fun. It's not perfect, but I do like it quite a bit. And then what else have I got in. I'm getting in pretty deep with Killer Instinct. At this point, with Saber Wolf, because that's the free character that you get. That game's really fun. I never played Killer Instinct before. I didn't play CAG Gold. Never played the original game on the SNES. So. And like I said, got that rare replay, so I went back and played KI Gold, and that is entirely that's a different game entirely, and I hate that game.
What? But
I really like the new Killer Instinct. Like, that game is that original game is way slow. I feel like compared to even some of the stuff around that time, you know.
Continue.
If you didn't grow up with that game, it does not age too well. I mean, the designs on everything, the designs are cool, you know. That's half of the reason that I wanted to play just the new one, because I just kind of wanted to see what their updated versions of it were. But Xbox One Killer Instinct, it is a super, super fast game. A super fast fighting game, which I really like. I kind of like with every other fighting game besides maybe Mortal Kombat, feel like and Mortal Kombat maybe only because I've played enough of Mortal Kombat that I kind of know the systems. I feel like I wish there was an easier way to learn all of the systems. I end up pulling off combo breakers just kind of by accident, it seems like, or, you know, shadow moves, things like that. I just feel like there needs to be something better in those types of games to really get in to them. Other than that, I'm planning on going pretty deep before we hit Game of the Year with Tomb Raider.
Yes.
Because I have that sitting on there. That game is supposedly coming out to the PC in January, so I picked the perfect time to get an Xbox One. Shit. other than that, just kind of messing around with it just in general. It's a good system, and I feel like now, I would say that I still think the PS4 is a better system, but I think that you can't go wrong at this point with either of them. You're gonna find stuff to play on either console, you know.
Can I say, because you were talking about it, and I don't think that the Xbox store is good. I think the PlayStation store is terrible as well. The PlayStation store, it's hard to find stuff sometimes, like, if I'm specifically, I'm like, I know there's a sale going on, and if it's not, like, one of, like, the top, like, things on there, it seems hard to drill down and find stuff.
Right. Yeah, but I also think, like, I think just the general search tools are better in the PlayStation Store. Like, I like that kind of, like, here is this list of the letters, and
yeah. We
will just kind of auto-spell it out for you, whereas I have to use the Xbox search functionality powered by Bing.
Bing is great.
Everyone's using Bing. I don't know. I do like that they have that kind of built-in system on the Xbox where if you are having trouble with an achievement, you can just go into your achievement list and hit a button and it'll go, hey, do you want to search online for help with this achievement? And yes, I do. And it will just kind of pop it up because I was trying to close out. I had like one achievement left in the Fast and the Furious thing. And that was actually like really helpful. Like that was kind of a nice little tool. I really wish there was a combination of both the rarity system of, you know, of the PS4's, you know, the PS4's trophies and like some of that stuff on the Xbox. Like I really wish that there was a better system with that, but I like it. I feel like it was a good purchase, you know, like I don't feel necessarily disappointed with it at this point. And this year, like there's going to be more stuff to play. Really would like that Scalebound game to come out this year. That'd be cool.
All right, cool. So that's Xbox. Now everyone has an Xbox. And yes. everyone can be happy. But still, no, even though we all have Xboxes, no one else has played Tomb Raider besides Gus. So it is what it is.
Nope.
So alright, so that's good. So so you've had a lot of time in your hands to play a lot of old games, which is good. Have you tried Ori at all?
No, but I also have that game on Steam.
Oh, okay.
And I still haven't played it since I got it on Steam like months ago. And like from what I've heard, that game is really good, it seems like. So I should probably play that. But yeah, I want to play it.
Yeah.
It's like a Metroidvania thing, right?
Yeah, except it's mostly platforming, less combat, and I love platform games. That game was good. The game was real good. So speaking of games that are good, let's talk about one that's not. That's okay. That's probably
depending
debatable.
On your view.
Objectively,
might be really good.
It may or may not be good.
Technical standpoint, it might be a fucking mess no matter where you play it.
That's also true. So we're talking around, and now we're going to talk about Just Cause 3, the new game in the Just Cause lineup. So before we get into that, Adam, I'm curious, what is your opinion of Just Cause 2?
I really like Just Cause 2.
Okay.
And so I think depending on whether you like Just Cause 2 or not, that is going to determine whether you like this game or not.
So I didn't like Just Cause 2. I saw what Just Cause 2 was trying to do. Really cool mechanics as far as like blowing stuff up and the chaos system and all that stuff. And I see what Just Cause 3 is trying to do, but I feel the exact same way as I did about Just Cause 2. It's like, I think they know what kind of game they want to be. I just don't think they can figure out how to actually do it. Like, the wingsuit and the parachute thing and, like, hey, now you have unlimited explosives. And, like, they're going in the right direction. They just can't figure out how to make a good game around that. Like, because Just Cause 3, it's a game that is still starring the same guy. It's still Rico. Rico is, like, is God, basically. Mm-hmm. And that he cannot be hurt or killed or really. Anything like that. And the game is aware of this to a much more degree than it was in Just Cause 2. Like, it knows what it is. It's almost like it wants to be like Saints Row, but it's taken a little bit more realistic approach to, you know, like, hey, this is an actual rebellion and there's bad guys and, you know, so on and so forth. But it doesn't get to like the type of tightness that Saints Row does. The times that I had fun in Just Cause was clearing out the bases, and then even that got repetitive after a while because a lot of the bases are the exact same base.
Yeah.
Just, oh, this one's over here instead of over here. And there's tons of bases in the game.
Yeah.
That's the fun that I had with the game. Everything else in it, like the actual like story missions and the challenges, I think are pretty bad. And maybe that's just me. I'm curious to hear what you think.
I mean, yeah. I don't even necessarily disagree with you. But the thing is, like, to me, Just Cause was never... especially Just Cause... Well, I never played Just Cause 1. Just Cause 2 to me, though...
I don't think anyone has played Just
Cause 1. Nobody did.
I don't think it actually exists. I think they skipped...
The series started with... It's kind of like Killzone. Like, no one played the original Killzone, right? Like, everyone knows about Killzone 2, though.
I played the original Killzone, think.
No, stop. Stop refuting my evidence. Anyways.
I'm pretty sure it did. I don't know. No, but, like, I don't necessarily ever feel like... Just Cause has been, to me at least, about the story missions or anything. The things that I remember with Just Cause 2 were going in, blowing up the bases. Like I don't disagree with you. I don't think that the challenges are particularly great. I think that they have a lot of weird physics shit that happens with those, especially in the races. I think that a lot of that stuff doesn't necessarily work out too good. But the game that I've always enjoyed with Just Cause is it's a late night. I've had a couple drinks. Let's pop in this game. Let's go and blow some shit up. Or, like a couple nights ago, I think I just sort of played it where I was like, let me try to get to the highest point that I can with this game. Like, let me get to as high of an altitude because they have all their built-in leaderboards. Let me just try to get up as high as I can. Let me try to, like, go for as long as I can in the wingsuit. And let me just kind of see what it is. Like, I find the open world aspect of that game way more interesting than the actual game. And I understand, like, people get really tired with the repetition. It was kind of the same issue that I think a lot of people had with Mad Max earlier this year from Avalanche as well. But I still enjoy that stuff. And to me, like, that is the game for me. It's not necessarily the game of, hey, go do this storyline mission against this evil dictator. You got to bring down the base. You got to stop him. Like, that was never the game to me. But I think it's a fair criticism. Like, it is totally fair to go, hey, these missions are bad in a lot of cases. Like, the way that some of that stuff handles is not very good, but I still like it, you know? Like, there's something about the way that that game just kind of works when you're dicking around with it that I think is really, really fun.
Yeah, see, the thing is, like, I guess I see what it could be if handled properly, because I do feel like the way that this game kind of starts up, you're riding on top of a plane, I think, and you're like blasting things with a rocket launcher, and it's like, it's crazy. It made me think back to Saints Row 4, kind of like at the beginning of that game opens, where you're like riding the rocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like I said, it's not to the crazy bombastic level that Saints Row is, but it's like they're trying to be this kind of crazy over the top game, and they have all these really cool mechanics, like the grappling hook and the fact that you can create tension in the grappling hook is awesome. Like, it's one of the coolest mechanics in any game, period. But they never really give you anything to do with it. Like, you have to, kind of like you were saying, it's the open world. You have to go make your own fun. The game doesn't give you anything fun to do. And they get close. Like, there's a later mission where you are riding on top of, like, of a giant cargo plane being attacked by fighter jets. And it's basically, you're just kind of there just like, hey, let's have fun to take out these jets. Do whatever you want to. Like, shoot them with a rocket launcher, hook them together and make them crash into each other, whatever you want to do. And I had really fun with that, but it kind of kicks you into there, and it's like, all right, this is what's going on, and then it kicks you out, and then you go back to the game. And I feel like they could make something really cool out of it and put you in really interesting scenarios to kind of give you stuff to do with all the mechanics. But they just never really do it. And then on top of that, they have all of your upgrades and your, you know, to your weapons and your grappling hook and all this stuff locked behind the challenges, which for the most part are pretty uninteresting.
Yeah.
And they're difficult in a way, like they're designed to, when you first do them, it's with some of them, you're pretty much not going to get 5 stars because, oh, you need to have unlocked nitrous, but you only unlock nitrous by beating the levels. So it's like, it's just weird, like catch 22. And so then it's like, you have to go back in and that's like, oh, I unlocked this really fast car. So now I can do these races and I can get 5 stars easily. Or I unlocked a jet. So now I can go back and do the flying races and I can get 5 stars of them with like 15, 20 seconds to spare because I'm in a jet instead of like a crappy like bi-wing plane.
Right.
And like the fact that they lock all the upgrades behind those challenges wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, except the challenges aren't that interesting to do. And I'm playing this on PS4. I heard the same thing about the Xbox One. You can't, you cannot retry challenges. Like it is just, you don't do it because if you want to retry a challenge, it's going to be a couple minutes before you can actually retry it. So, for example, there will be a challenge that will take you, say, 30 seconds to, you know, complete, like a wingsuit challenge or a sprint race that's pretty short. But it'll take 30 seconds for you to either, like, do it or you crash enough that you know you're not going to get it. And then you go to retry it, and it will literally take you three or four minutes to reset. The worst of those come in the destruction challenges, which basically reset up a base with all the stuff that you can destroy, and they ask you to go around and just destroy stuff without any enemies killing you. Retrying one of those challenges, I had one. I was actually talking to you, Adam. Well, I was playing the game.
Yeah.
I did a timer on my phone. That's how bad the loading is in this game, that I actually was timing it on my phone just to see how bad it was. Mm-hmm. Reloading one challenge got up to 14 minutes and some change. Not quite 15 minutes.
Yeah. And that is where it to me hits like that's unacceptable.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is actually unacceptable for
any game. Like it's for
any game, but like for this for like this fucking game where like it's so heavily ties into all of the challenge shit, and like they knew that this thing had this massive issue, and they're not great on the PC, but they're not so bad that they're notable. But like when I think it was like Video Gamer, like they posted like that 15 minute just uninterrupted video of just the loading, like I think it was like the day before it came out, it was like, well, this is fucked, this is super fucked, like there's no good excuse for that. For as much as I might like the game, that's bullshit, you know.
And it makes the game less fun to play because basically I had to train myself because I will say I enjoyed, like I said, just going around and blowing up the bases. I did every single base. I had fun doing that. The traversal is fun. But I had to learn to just kind of not really care about the challenges or kind of just live with what I got on the first try. Because, or in some instances, it was better to just accept what I got and then go wingsuit back to the place that I started the challenge and start it over again. Because there's no loading screen. And like literally that like 30 seconds to get back to the part where you started the challenge will take considerably less than actually reloading the checkpoint, which makes no sense whatsoever. And that's not even the limit of the problems on PS4. There's all kinds of frame rate issues where the frame will just drop to like it almost seems like sub 15, sub 10 sometimes in some instances. When to be fair, there's a lot of stuff on screen and a lot of stuff blowing up and helicopters and whatnot. And it's you can see why the it's slowing down, but it's not acceptable to have like this bad of an experience. And it's just, the challenges maybe wouldn't be as bad if it took 15 seconds or something like that to reload a challenge, and then you could just go right back in and be like, oh yeah, like I was trying to do this wingsuit challenge, which the wingsuit challenges are really fun actually. But like, oh, I hit a tree branch on accident, so I only got 3 stars, and I want to restart it. And that shouldn't take, you know, a wingsuit challenge probably takes a minute to reload. And that's ridiculous for something that takes about a minute to finish in one go anyways. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it not fun to kind of go back and do those things.
Yeah.
But then you have to do those if you want to get some of the cooler upgrades. So basically what I ended up doing is I ended up looking at the upgrade tree, looking at what the further one's down and going, nah, I don't need that. I can live without that. And just kind of moving on. Like, I got enough the plane one so that I could spawn the air vehicles instantly. which means I could just drop a helicopter and just go into a base and just wreck shit. And I got all the grapple hook ones because those are the ones you really want, the ones that increase how much tension that they have and give you more grappling hooks and stuff like that. Like, those are the main ones I was aiming for, and everything else I kind of just ignored because it just wasn't practical to get them.
And that just seems like that's such a shame. You know, like that, like it's obviously like it's unacceptable. I feel like with any game to have that kind of like technical issue, but like, especially when you're already like you yourself were not having necessarily a great time with the game, like to then add in this added layer of bullshit. Like I found myself like I ended up canceling my pre-order of the collector's edition for that game. And it was for the PS4, and I wound up, like, after, like, you know, I wanted to be like, well, that kind of sucks. Like, I can't get this, like, cool-ass, like, fake grappling hook thing, but, you know, whatever. I wound up buying it just off of, like, CD keys for $30. I'm like, man, that, I kind of totally just dodged the bullet on that, because,
yeah,
I would be miserable playing that fucking game on the PS4.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was so excited to play this game. Like I said, like I saw what Just Cause 2 was trying to do. Saw a couple videos, you know, beforehand of people, you know, like Giant Bomb's quick look and like you know stuff like that. Of like, this game looks like it could be really fun. Like it looks like, you know, it's you know it has kind of what I'm looking for, and it just never quite clicked. And that was just disappointing. But I could still be like, hey, you know, I had fun just going around and blowing stuff up. But then all the other stuff on top of there kind of just makes me go like, man, it's just not. Like, it's a huge, probably the most disappointing game I've played this year. And that's including all the crap that happened with Batman.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Batman, you didn't...
I didn't run into as many problems as people did, but I still did into problems. Yeah. But, yeah, like, it was really sad because I was really looking forward to it. I literally, yeah... and it starts really well. Like it starts, like I said, just very Saints Row esque, and I was totally on board. And you know, like when the game is installing on the PS4, it lets you go into this. I think they call it Boom Island, where you kind of just have all the upgrades, and you just kind of fly around and just mess with stuff. And that was a ton of fun. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna attach a propane tank to a goat and shoot it and watch it go flying off. And that's absolutely hilarious. Like. It has so much
potential. Oh, okay. So that's what that thing is. Okay, so I found that island. I'm playing it on the PC. I found that island.
Oh, yeah, because like, that's
not a... The fuck is this?
Yeah, that's not part of the PC. It's the part that they load you into while the rest of the game is installing, like many console games do nowadays. But yeah, so it's basically here's all your stuff, go find, and then you get to the actual game, and you've been like you've taken away everything that they had because you're not fully upgraded or anything like that anymore, which was like, okay, whatever, I can get past that. But like, yeah, there's just a point where into the game where I was just like, I just want to be done with this game. I mean, there was a point where I wanted to literally just stop playing it. I was telling you this, Adam, that I wanted to just stop playing it and maybe just go get it on PC when it was super cheap and put it on an SSD and not have those issues with load times and kind of just do it. But I just don't think I like the game enough to even try to bother with that. So it is what it is.
So you're just like, I keep playing it on the.
Yeah. Have you beaten it, Adam?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I don't even know how many hours I put into it, but
the final boss fight is just awful. It's just like it's like one of the most anticlimactic, just terrible things. Like, I mean, they have a really cool bad guy in this game that they never utilize at all. Like he's like happy and jolly, but then he has enough like terror to make people like shoot themselves in the head when they mess up. Like it's like he's super creepy and super cool, and they never utilize him. And the final boss fight, like I think I beat him on accident. I'll spoil it a little bit. He's in a helicopter, and I shot the helicopter, and I guess that just kind of moved it enough so it ran into a hill and just blew up. Like I watched the health bar, which the health bar had like 90% on it after I shot him, and then it just went zoop and went down. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that game's over then. Okay.
That's done now. Okay.
And I think that about sums up Just Cause 3. It's just kind of like it has these cool ideas, but it never figures out a way to actually make them work well. And that was how I felt about Just Cause 2. Like I thought the story missions and everything like Just Cause 2 was pretty terrible, but the world was fun to play in. I will say, and I don't know how far you are into the game, Adam, it also has a thing where, like, the further you get into some of the bases, it seems like it's actively trying to stop you from having fun in the blowing up of stuff. Because they start throwing guys that are, like, in full suits of body armor that are incredible to kill. You can't grapple them or anything like that. Like, there's, you know, there's tons of anti-air missiles, and there's, you know, boats that are shooting you from afar, and there's helicopters, and, like, and all this stuff, and it's like, can't it just let me run around and blow stuff up? Like, why you gotta mess with my vibe here that I'm trying to run around and have fun?
I'm still... I think it just got off that first island, like that first main island. And, like, I mean, there are some of those in there already. Like, there's that big central base that they have where they put up, like, I think, like, 10 anti-aircraft things. So you get into a helicopter, it is blowing the fuck up. Like, there's no way in hell. But, like, I find myself with that stuff just kind of grappling and parachuting around for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, I very rarely have been using vehicles with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once you kind of get a really good helicopter, like, you can kind of take those things out and kind of have fun that way. But the problem I ran into is, like, mm-hmm. I was in these later parts of the game. I finally had upgraded my grappling hook to the highest tension, which means, like, I should be able to hook it up to stuff and just wreck things. But there's too many enemies around that I can't do that anymore. And it was like, why are you stopping me from having fun when I just want to run around and blow stuff up? Mm-hmm. Now, I guess there's, like, once you beat the game, you can kind of go back and you can repopulate bases, and I could go do that stuff, but I have no hook or reason to do any of that stuff anymore when the game's over. And I also don't have it anymore. I sent it back to gameplay.
That's a shame. I like I said, I'm still enjoying it, but... You know, it's the open world stuff for me that I enjoy.
Yeah, and I hope you, and like I said, that's the only redeeming factor in that game is the open world stuff.
Yeah.
And I had fun with that stuff to a certain point. And then, like I said, never really bothered me, but there are some of those where you kind of just, you go to a base and you're like, oh yeah, I've blew up this base before. Like, there's a lot of, what do you call them, like oil derricks out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, bases.
And every one of those is exactly the same. Like, sometimes they'll have a couple different, like, things to blow up, but they look exactly the same. They have, yeah, it's just, it's like, that's kind of disappointing that there's, like, 7 or 8 of those, and they're all pretty much the same base. Things like that. So, yeah, disappointing game. I'm really disappointed. I hope that you continue.
I think it depends. I mean, it kind of depends on what you want out of those games, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, like, so that's kind of the way that I feel about Saints Row 2. Like, I really like Saints Row 3, and I really like Saints Row 4. I fucking hate Saints Row 2. Because, like, Saints Row 2, like, in order to get to any of the story quests, you have to, like, go through, and you have to do all of the side quests. Like, you have to do, like, all these little side deals so that you can unlock the next level, you know. And I'd never found those side quests particularly great.
Right.
So, and that was, you know, that was the thing, like, with I think Just Cause 2, right? Like, the, you know, you had to build up your chaos and everything. Like, yeah, like, I kind of feel like I feel that way, like, about Saints Row. So, I mean, I can understand it, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it is, and that's a big, I think that is a big, like, comparison to me, is that I look at something like this, and I look at something like Saints Row 4, and Saints Row 4 and 3, I love 3 as well. They just did this type of game significantly better. And, like, and I see how they could craft story missions that utilizes the mechanics that they have to do really cool, really dumb things. And this, like, they just, after 2 straight games where they kind of have a lot of the same mechanics, they still can't quite figure it out. And that's just disappointing, because I see how much better of a game it could be with the stuff that they're trying to do.
Hear me out. We put Rico in a helicopter, okay? He has to jump out of the helicopter, and then Kanye West's Power starts playing. Okay. Then I think everybody gets what they want.
So I have to say this. So I did this experiment in Just Cause 3. For example of how invulnerable Rico is, I took the helicopter, as you do, flew it all the way to the ceiling of the world as you can, jumped out, head straight first, no wingsuit, no parachute, hit a mountain. Perfectly fine. Don't worry about it.
How the fuck did you do that?
I don't know. Like, he, like, my, look at it. He hit, and his, this, the screen turned red, but he was fine. He was, he was okay. He did not die. He
got up. Okay, that's crazy.
He got up. He walked it off. And I was like, all right. I'm like, all right, that, just cause. I appreciate that.
Game seems also a little bit broken with its physics just in general, though. So, I mean, maybe that's what happened. Like, you got the instance of you hit it at the angle where it's just like, nah, you're fine. Fuck it. Yeah, no. Walk it off.
I mean, the physics is some of the most exciting. Like, the destruction models that they have in that game are awesome. Like, taking down huge towers or satellite dishes or whatever is really satisfying. You know, like, riding on a speeding car, being chased by other speeding cars, and using a cable to just make them go flying in really crazy directions or crashing helicopters. Like, that's all really fun. Like, but they wish that they just had more of that type of stuff. So that's enough. Just
Cause 3. I want to see what they're gonna do with modding with this game. You know, the modding community I think is gonna be really interesting with this because I think they've said like they are going to have official support for mods, which is great because like Just Cause 2 like had its moment. Like Just Cause 2 was what, 2010. When that game came out.
Something like that.
And then, like last year was when the multiplayer mod hit, and that was when everybody started playing that game again.
Yeah.
I really want to see what they're going to do with that, with that stuff. I would love to see how modding just improves that game.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I'll probably never find that out because I'm not going to play it. I'm
not yeah, probably not.
Yeah. You know, I got my thing. I time out of it. That is what it is. So
you'll get it in like, you know, the Square Enix bundle in like 2 years.
That's exact. I'm pretty sure I own Just Cause 2 on PC.
Yeah, I'm sure you do too.
I know. I saw it in my library for backwards compatible games on Xbox One the other day. So I apparently got that free at some point for the Games with Gold.
Cool. You're not playing it on the Xbox. On the Xbox One, because I know like that came with a free copy of Just Cause 2.
No, so it must have been a free Games with Gold game at some point, and yeah. all those games. You know, now going forward, all those games are going to be backwards compatible, which I think is cool.
Yeah,
but that's great. There's a bunch of them that I have on there that I forgot that I had like gone in and said like, yeah, I'll own that game. Like, what was it like Dirt 3? I was like, Dirt 3. When did I get? I guess I got Dirt 3 at some point. Assassin's Creed 2 was on there. So that's cool.
Yeah, I've got Assassin's Creed 2 on there as well. Yeah. Hey, Halo Reach is now backwards compatible.
I mean, that means the entirety of Halo is playable on Xbox One if you have the Master Chief Collection and you got that ODST thing.
Playable.
Okay.
Does it work now? Have we confirmed this?
I don't know. I don't know if the single player...
I think it actually works technically still. Like, there's a big... Reddit list of just everything that's still broken with that.
Jesus.
I think the campaign stuff was always okay. I've only ever played multiplayer. I never went back to any of that campaign stuff. I will at some point because I love the Halo campaigns, but now with ODST you got there and now they have Reach, which Reach is the best campaign of those anyways.
Now you can play the good Halos on your Xbox One.
Yeah, you can finally play the good Halos. None of this
Iron Brigade.
None of this
we should all play Iron Brigade. Let's all play Iron Brigade.
I'm so mean to Halo 5. Halo 5 multiplayer is good. That campaign is pretty.
It's pretty
trashy.
I don't think it's trash. I think it's just meh. Like, yeah, multiplayer is fun. All right. So we're going to move on to some other stuff here. Like I said, that there's been two big main events, and there's a lot of stuff in there that's either old or just uninteresting to us. So we're going to kind of cherry pick some stuff out of there. The main thing that Adam wanted to talk about was Psychonauts 2.
Fucking Psychonauts 2. Hell yes. Everybody get in the goddamn hype train. We're going.
So is that funded yet? Is that fully funded?
I'm sure it is.
It's not. No, it's not. It's sitting at like 2.7, 2.8.
Okay. I think they needed to get the 3.3 is what their goal was.
Yes. Yeah, their goal is to hit as much as they made off of Double Fine Adventure.
Okay, the Broken Edge.
Broken Edge. So their goal is to hit 3.3 million. They've also said... So the cool thing about this, which I think it is... let's not beat around the bush. Double Fine has had two Kickstarter campaigns. One maybe didn't work out so well. The other one was for Massive Chalice, which that's actually a pretty good game. They also had a game that they went to early access with that they completely fucking abandoned. So people are kind of sour on them right now. But the thing that kind of gives me hope with this is that, so they're doing this through FIG, which is that new crowdfunding thing, which allows people to not just back the thing, but you can also invest in the campaign. So like you can invest, then you have to have a minimum of $500, and then you will actually get, depending on the amount of sales that the game gets, like you will get a return on that. And they have an entire, like they have a calculator on their FIG campaign that'll tell you like, here's, if you invest this much money, you will get this much money back. They've also got a nameless third party that is investing. It sounds like they are investing, like it sounds like each part of this they are expecting to invest kind of equally.
Okay, so like ended up around like $10 million.
Yeah. Yeah, so like 3.3 for through the crowdfunding, 3.3 from this private investor, and 3.3 just from Double Fine themselves. So that gives me actually a bit of hope with it, because like the thing that I think that they wound up getting burned with Broken Age was they got this money, they didn't expect to get that much money, and they overspent. Like here, if they were just going for $3.3 million for a new Psychonauts game, that would probably not work too well. Just because of the kind of game that is, the kind of game that I think people want out of a Psychonauts sequel is, I mean, similar in size at the very least to Psychonauts, the original. But then you also need to consider that they've also got this crazy-ass VR thing that they are doing with Sony, that money is probably going to go in towards Psychonauts 2, because the VR thing is a weird, like, it's a prequel to 2, but it's not 2. I think it's called the Rhombus of Ruin, I think is what it's called. Yeah, so that... they're going full in on the Psychonauts thing. They said that they basically are using this also to be like, oh, hey, you guys want, anybody want a Brutal Legend 2? And like most people, no, not really.
So
most people don't want.
So Brutal Legends.
Here we go.
This is one of my more famous quotes from Level Zero or Talk About Gamers, whichever one it was. Brutal Legend was a great game when you weren't actually playing the game. Like,
yeah.
Beautiful to look at, amazing style, Jack Black was awesome, great cutscenes. Gameplay was atrocious. Like, the gameplay was just bad. Yeah. Like, the beginning of that game like makes you think it's going to be like a Legend of Zelda-esque like adventure game. And then it becomes an RTS out of nowhere. Yeah.
All of the demos, too, like, all of the... because, I mean, this was when I was pretty heavy with talking about games. We were at PAX, and, like, I played it there. Like, their demo was just straight up, like, the most that you got to with it was... you were doing, like, hit this button to command the headbangers to go over here and do this. And I'm like, okay, well, that's okay. That's not terrible. And then you got it, and you got, like,
and that is,
the way through.
Yeah, like,
and
80% of the game
is
that.
You hit a full fucking RTS. Like, yep. You hit a full RTS. And that's terrible. And from what I understand, like, I don't even think they improved it that much on the PC, where you would go like, okay, like this makes sense. This makes sense to have an RTS on a PC. And no, nope. But like, yeah, that game has such an amazing world and like such a great soundtrack that it's a goddamn shame that the game was not as good as it should have been.
I wanted to like that game so much. And it is. And if they had just stuck with what that like original, like I remember they released a demo on Xbox Live and PS3 mm-hmm. that like felt like a Zelda game. And I was like, this is awesome. I bought Brutal Legend. Like, mm-hmm. I literally went to Toys R Us, and I think it was a buy two, get one free. I don't remember what else I got at that point. But I straight up purchased Brutal Legend as the third of those games. And I was like, I played that demo. That seems really cool. And not really looked into it all that much. I like Jack Black. I like Metal. Like, it seemed cool.
Yeah.
Just a terrible, like, just a... But if they were to come out and say, we're making a Brutal Legend 2, it's not an RTS anymore, it's an action game, I would go, sign me up. Like, I would be there. Like, because I would believe that they could actually do that right if they just made it a different genre.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah. So that was kind of their, like, carrot on the stick. But I don't think that... The Psychonauts funding is the carrot on the stick, not Brutal Legend.
No. So hey, I have a question. Notch was always really big with Psychonauts. Has he come out or anything like that? Is he the secret investor?
He is not. He came out and was like, "It is not me. Please do not. Please do not make an assumption that it is me, because it is not me." This secret investor apparently does not want to be named. They said, like, very early on, like, yeah, this person has no interest in coming forward publicly. So, I mean, like, whatever, like that happens a lot in games where there's just like this investor, you know, there's an investment firm, you know, whatever it is, that just never ends up getting named that funds the game. So, I mean, yeah, that person will probably remain anonymous unless they're somewhere in, like, a special thanks portion, but then you also need to take a wild guess at who the fuck it is. You know?
They're just gonna thank everybody.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a Kickstarter game, so it's going to... Well, it's not a Kickstarter game. It's a fake game, but whatever.
Yes, every person who has contributed is gonna be in those credits, and...
Exactly.
They'll probably just, let's shove that in there. It's actually Reggie. Reggie is the anonymous.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. Let's get that on the Wii U. Okay, cool. That seems like that could be that seems like a really cool idea. They could do some interesting stuff with that. Yeah. I don't want to think about that now.
Sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to hurt you. I haven't played Psychonauts. Do you think Psychonauts would hold up if it went, because I have it on Steam.
I think so. Sure. Yeah, I think so. It definitely, like, they fixed a lot of the stuff with the Steam version, like the kind of very notorious final level of that game, the meat circus is not that good, was never that good, and I don't think that them even fixing the issues with that would necessarily make it great, but there's so many other things in that game that are fantastic, that's kind of where my love for this company kind of came out of, was like, you know, stuff like Black Velvetopia, which is just like a level that is designed to look like a black velvet painting, or the Milkman Conspiracy, which is the greatest video game level of all time. Like, you know, like there are so many things in those games that I feel like are really, really, really well made. I just love this game. And you know, like they did their video. Eric Wolpaw is apparently writing this game. That seems super crazy, because that meant that they had fucking Gabe in their pitch video. Like, they just had him there, and Eric was just kind of there. Like, that's great. Like, this seems like this is them trying to put together, like, not just kind of like them going, well, we want to bring back adventure games. Like, this seems like they're going, okay, we really need to knock this thing out of the park as much as we can.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm psyched. I'm super excited for this game.
Cool. Yeah. So Psychonauts 2, like I said, is it Fig the type of thing where they get the money whether it gets funded or not? Is that those type of thing? I don't know.
No, it is. It is that this has to get funded. It's not like a Indiegogo. I think Indiegogo is the one that lets you kind of choose whether or not.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, well, we're going to take your money and hopefully we get enough, but if not, whatever, you know, whatever. Okay, yeah.
If not, fuck it.
I never heard of Fig before this, probably as most people. I'd be interested.
Fig hasn't done much, because, like I said, like they kind of, I think, came out of, like this thing, like, I think got announced, like, earlier this year, but I assume because of the way that it works where you have the investment firms. I just went to the FIG website, and the only thing that is on there is Psychonauts. Like, it literally just brings you to Psychonauts.
Well, it's the type of thing that would put a site like that on the map for a lot of people.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe it's FIG is the secret third investor, and that's why they don't want to say it.
I mean, if FIG is the secret investor, Tim Schafer helped make FIG, so that just kind of becomes this weird, like, snake eating its own tail sort of deal. Like, if that's the case, then that means that Double Fine is investing, but Tim Schafer is investing,
Psychonauts is actually just a ploy to launch FIG, is actually what this is all about.
It
actually do not care about Psychonauts whatsoever.
It goddamn could be at this point.
Oh, all right. So some other big news happened. Was this last night, yesterday, with the Hideo Kojima?
That was like two nights ago.
Hideo Kojima, the whole Konami fiasco, the rumors and the conspiracy theories about they're really still together and there's a Metal Gear Solid 5.5 or whatever. The whole Konami banning him from the Game Awards, it all is pretty much over at this point.
I don't think they've officially confirmed that Hideo Kojima doesn't work there anymore.
He has said that he officially no longer works there.
So he came out like right before the announcement, and he said as of December 15th, he was no longer employed with Konami. His contract had been terminated. Mm-hmm. So he came out and said it.
But Konami hasn't said
anything yet. Konami has been kind of entirely radio silent. Like, this comes out of like a couple months ago when last month when they had the goodbye party for Hideo Kojima, and I think like New York Times covered it. I want to say it was one of the larger publications where they were discussing the situation, and Konami came out and said, no, he's just on vacation. He'll be back. He'll be back. He's going to the pachinko mines. It's such a weird situation. And I feel like they're never going to officially say that Hideo Kojima doesn't work there, you know? Like, I feel like they're gonna not acknowledge him, you know, just like they basically did with the game's release. But
For all intents and purposes, Hideo Kojima has his own company now, Kojima Productions.
And it is an independent studio.
Independent
studio. Which I think is super critical. They've partnered with Sony.
Yep. And they're making a game that is going to be innovative and groundbreaking, and we'll see in, I don't know, six years, seven years?
Decade.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Something like that. Whatever. I am just glad to see him get the chance to do stuff somewhere else, you know? Like, this to me at this point then, like, kind of frees up any notion of, well, Konami held it back, you know. Like, at this point, if it doesn't hit or whatever, then that fully goes on to him. But you know, I'm excited. Like, that, you know, they PlayStation came out. They did that video where they're like, you know, hey, we're proud to announce that we're doing this whole partnership deal. This game is going to be coming out to the PS4 and PC. Assuming the PS4 is still out
round at that point when it comes out. Done.
But who the hell knows? They came out, they said it's not Metal Gear, it is not Silent Hills. It will probably never be those things because there's no way in hell that Konami would give up those licenses. Apparently he also had gotten like a lot of other offers for this deal, but it sounds like that Sony probably gave him the best deal with it. So,
it's a pretty big thing for Sony to kind of have locked up his first game that he's making post Konami.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty huge in the age where usually by the time this game will come out, exclusives probably won't be much of a thing anymore. Because they tend to not be as big of a deal at the end of the life cycle for a console, unless this is like a PlayStation 5 launch game or something like that.
It might be.
Yeah. At this point, it's sad to be thinking that far out when the consoles are still very new. But
I don't even know that it's that far out. That's the thing. Maybe. Like, I don't think we're gonna get the same sort of life cycle. But anyways, I see your point. Like,
that's big for Sony to kind of lock that up. And I am super interested to see what that actually is. In the same vein that we were super interested to see what Bungie was working on, we're super interested to see what Infinity Ward was whatever the hell they're called. What are they called?
Respawn.
What Respawn was working on, you know? Like, this is like one of those out there. It's like, oh, this guy who was known for doing this one thing for a long time is now out on his own doing his own thing.
Who can't do this one thing anymore.
Who knows what he'll come up with, you know? Like, it was super it's super crazy to see, you know, we got Titanfall and Destiny, and one of those was really good, and one of those was okay.
Titanfall was really good.
Oh, whatever. You know, Destiny will get there. It's so So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. They came that, you know, I'm excited. I'm super excited. And, following that up today, I don't know if anybody else saw this. Totally unrelated. Completely unrelated to that news.
Okay.
Konami is now hiring for a new Metal Gear game. Anybody want it? Anybody? Anybody want it? Where is everybody going? No, come back. Come back. It was pretty hilarious to watch that.
Imagine having to go in and follow that.
I feel bad because like the thing is, like, the so the only other company besides Koji Pro that had really worked on Metal Gear was Platinum with Revengeance, and Revengeance is great.
Oh, yeah.
Revengeance is fantastic.
Maybe it really is unrelated, and they're actually hiring for Revengeance too, and it just happens to be the same day.
Yeah, but like if it's Konami holding that shit, like, no, I'm not. I don't want that. I would just like to see, like, I would like to see a Platinum come in, or, you know, something like that. But the thing is, like, they are going to be whoever ends up taking that job, like, they're probably going to put somebody out there as the face of this thing, and they are screwed.
Yep. No, no one wants to be that person, because gamers are going to hate that person.
It does. It won't even matter if the game is, like, good or not. You know, like, that's kind of what it comes down to. It's like, the game might be totally fine, but you are the face of the Empire now. You know, like, you're the person that whatever it is, you are going to be blamed with any issues with it. You're going to be taking the brunt of the abuse. I really feel bad because. Unless it is somebody, like, unless it's like that dude, like, who, like, you know, runs that big pharmacy company that jacked up the price of like the AIDS medication, like, unless that, it's gonna be undeserved hate, like, you know, like, it's you have to be an especially evil sort of person to deserve the amount of hate that whoever it is going to get, you know.
Yeah, but even that's, I mean, that's the thing that's interesting about all this news. Like, it's all really interesting and it's exciting, but it's going to be a while before we know anything about what's actually going on, or probably even hear anything extra about what's going on. Like,
I mean,
Hideo's probably going to go into hiding for like another 2 years, and then he'll just show up at E3 with a teaser or something like that.
Yeah, they'll because, I mean, that company, Koji Pro, had always had a history of not releasing many trailers, like, and they still hadn't really done it. Like, they would always go into, like, I always remember two, they did their Submerged thing where they just went completely radio silent for, like, up until like 6 months before the game came out, and then they went silent again until like a month before the game came out. So I could definitely see them doing that again.
You know, that exactly describes Fallout 4 as well, by the way. Like, we'd heard nothing about Fallout 4. They had tons of stuff at E3, and then they went silent until like a month before the game came out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, the thing is, I think we're probably going to hear more about the new Metal Gear game before we do whatever the new Hideo Kojima thing is, because I have to imagine that Konami is going to push to get those more quickly made. I don't know where the the thing that I really wonder is where the rights with the Fox engine lie right now, if Konami is keeping that an in-house engine, if they are going to license that thing out. It seems like a real shame if they don't license it out, because that's a really well-built engine. But I have to imagine that whoever gets put into that new project, they are going to be under a crunch, because that was a thing that Konami always seemed to dislike about Hideo stuff, is it was always a very long process to make, and they were becoming less profitable. So I would assume that's probably where the breaking point ended up happening. Like, Metal Gear Solid 5, you know, like, MGS4 came out in 2010, and I think it was 2010. It might actually have been a little bit before that. It might have been 2009. But they're going to push whoever this is to go on a two-year cycle. Like, and that is terrifying. A Metal Gear Solid game on a two-year cycle is not a world I want to live in, you know?
By the way, first, because this is like, MGS4 was 2008.
2008. Okay, so it was even longer.
Yeah, it was even longer. 7 years. Yes. Like,
7 years, and you have to imagine they started working on the Fox engine, which is the thing that they built for this game. You have to imagine they were working on that right around the time that game was finished. So, like, man, for it to have all of its issues and still be kind of unfinished. Like, that's the even crazier part. It is still an unfinished game. Like, it took 7 years, and it's not quite there.
Well, you know, and you gotta wonder, and you always hear stories about the crazy things that Hideo Kojima would need to do, quote-unquote, to develop the game.
Yeah.
You gotta wonder if some of that stuff isn't why MGS5 is so bad with its microtransactions and all that stuff. If they're like looking at it going like, we have to recoup some money out of this game. Like, even if we sell the same amount or that we sold the MGS4, like, we're not going to make our money back from this 7-year development cycle with all this crazy things that Kojima did.
I mean, that was part of why they built the Fox engine was, I mean, like, you got to remember, like, when they were planning for MGS5, they were planning it to be, like, around the same time. Like, they were planning it to be, like, a simultaneous, like, this is when the new Xbox and the new PlayStation will be out. You know, we're going to have it around then. That was why they built the Fox engine, to kind of be this engine that would be able to kind of be ported between the systems, you know. But at the same point, it took a lot longer than that, to the point where it's kind of amazing that there is a PS3 and an Xbox 360 version of MGS5 out. MGS has been having diminishing returns for a long time. Like, I love those games. I love them to death, but they've been continuously selling less and less copies. So you have to imagine that Konami at a certain point had to kind of go, yeah, you need to stop working on this, and you need to release it. And I would assume, yeah, that's probably where the microtransaction stuff comes into place, because I assume that stuff is really simple to make, probably a very low overhead on that stuff. And even if you have, you know, a relative handful of the player base buying it, you're still at least getting some amount of money back to it, because MGS fanboys will buy a lot of shit.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. And even, I mean, and if, you know, 1 million people buy it, or 100,000 people buy it, or whatever, like, it's still extra money on top of their purchase of the game, no matter how you do it. So as long as it's not that expensive to create and implement. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still have to play that game. That's on my list of things to try to go back and play. But
apparently a PC Gamer, they did their game of the that's their game of the year.
I can see that. I mean, from what I've heard of it, I understand that.
It's a really solid game. It's
I'm kind of afraid to play it, to be honest.
I want to talk about that ending with somebody, man.
I will get there.
It's super fucking weird.
At some point, I will either have beaten that game or played enough of it to know that I don't care to play it to beat it. And we can talk about that ending either way. Because I will play that game 100%. So I didn't play any of the Metal Gear Solid games. I didn't play 3 or 4 or Peace Walker, but I will play this one.
So I actually, with this backwards compatibility stuff, I really hope that they get that HD collection backwards compatible, because that would be awesome.
That was rough to go back to try to play. I tried to play Metal Gear Solid 2, and that was rough to go back to.
Absolutely. They're super difficult to do, but I mean, I played them, so I kind of am comfortable with them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't finish Metal Gear Solid 2, but I played a lot of it, and I bought that collection for like, I don't know, $8 or $10, something like that, digitally, and it was really hard to go back to.
Now hear me out. We make a digital HD version of Metal Gear Acid from the PSP. We call it the Acid Collection.
Is that the card game?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. Okay.
The game was really good. Both of those games were really fucking good. They were way better than like any card game has the right to be. Like, it was like that and Phantom Dust. Like, they were great card games. They were fantastic card games.
When you go to video game card games, I always have fond memories of the Pokemon trading card game on Game Boy Color. That game was awesome. I loved that game.
I played a little bit of the Pokemon trading card game. I mean, I was always more into the actual physical card collection stuff. But
yeah, I'm cheap. Even as a little kid, I was cheap. So I never bought any cards, but I played that trading card game on Game Boy, and I had a lot of fun with it. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. We're talking about Game Boy games and Phantom Dust, so we're going to start rambling at some point if we don't cut this off. That's pretty much our episode for this week. Do you guys have anything, any other final thoughts you want to throw out there before we leave?
So at some point, we're going to have to do this whole Game of the Year thing, right?
Correct, yes.
And at some point, we're also going to have to do this whole Star Wars thing, because when we're recording it, literally in a couple of hours, that thing will be out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And by the world, I mean the U.S., because I don't
understand the difference. What do you mean?
Exactly. Hopefully we're going to get some stuff here in the next couple of weeks. My schedule is kind of going back to a normal thing pretty soon here. And I want to do that Game of the Year thing. But I think that's going to be a really big Game of the Year thing, because there's a lot of good games that came out this year.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we usually wait a little further into January to do it. Yeah. I mean, I know I have games that I just flat out just need to play to like feel like I have a valid opinion in some of this stuff. Like Tomb Raider and the previously mentioned Metal Gear Solid 5 and some others that are in there as well.
We wait on you to play Metal Gear Solid 5. We're going to be
I'm not saying I'm going to beat it, but I at least want to have, you know, 10 hours in or something like that. It's so that I can at least speak from a point of I at least have an idea of what's going on. Well, that's not fair. No one has an idea what's going on in Metal Gear Solid games, from my understanding. But
I have a wall and I have a lot of strings and a lot of pieces of paper and thumbtacks.
All right, that sounds.
I think I got an idea. Right. And that ending is so fucking. You got to play that. Okay, you got to play it.
See, right now I'm working through rewatching Star Wars in anticipation of probably seeing. I'm probably not going to get to see Star Wars for probably a week or so, just based on how my schedule and Christmas and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm watching Star Wars. You know what, guys? The original Star Wars movie were really good. I haven't made it to the prequels yet. But
go watch the Red Letter Media reviews of Star Wars Episode 1 through.
Those are fantastic. I love
those videos. They're great. They're fantastic. Great. I've actually I have the YouTube Red for my phone now, and this week, I literally just kind of downloaded those reviews and just put them on in the background while I was at work. Just had my phone closed. I was just listening to them, and just those are fantastic.
Yeah,
love Red Letter Media.
They're I'm actually really excited to watch episode 3 because that's the one I've seen the least.
Really?
And I enjoy that one compared to the other prequels. Episode 2 is off. Episode 2 is god awful. I enjoy episode 1.
Yeah. Episode 2 is the worst.
It's terrible. That's the only one I didn't see in theaters was episode 2, and it was just circumstance. I just never got around to see it in theaters, and I made a good decision in that to not see that in theaters because that movie was just god awful. But 3 I've only seen probably, I don't know, 3 times or something like that. So I've seen all the other ones and kind of in the same thing with 1 and 2, in anticipation of seeing 3, I've watched those several times, it seems like.
Yeah. Oh god.
2 is bad.
2 is real bad.
2 is fucking 2 is a piece of shit. That's an active turd that you're watching.
It makes episode 1 look like a masterpiece.
Yeah. And that's not a good thing. God.
I like episode 1.
You're so cute.
It's got the battle, the Darth Maul battle on it, which is awesome.
Which is not as long as you remember if you go back and watch it.
That's probably true. I haven't made it that far yet.
The pod race was cool.
I think the pod race has always been cool.
Pod race is good.
Jar Jar is an abomination.
remember how in the original Star Wars, Obi-Wan is when I first met your father, he was already a super skilled pilot. And then you watch episode 1,
he was a super skilled pilot. As a boy,
kind of hit the wrong button, and then he's like, maybe if I try spinning, that's a good trick.
I forgot about that sequence. Oh god, sequence is so bad.
Skilled pilot.
I do want to go back and watch the prequel trilogy with the mindset of Jar Jar Binks as a Sith Lord. Have you guys seen that super long article about that?
That totally makes sense. I think that's what he totally wanted to do, but after the backlash of episode 1, he cut that out.
Jar Jar is important because Jar Jar is a funnier character than we've ever had. If we get Jar Jar to working, this all makes sense. This all makes sense. Please listen to me. Oh god.
That's Sith theory.
Hey, you know what? We haven't seen starters yet. Maybe under that helmet, Kylo Ren is actually Jar Jar Binks. He's the one who has the hilted lightsaber.
Yeah. I posted this on my Facebook a couple. I think last week there was a documentary that was made about Episode 1. It was made during the creation of Episode 1. And it was, I think it was a special feature on the DVD. And videogamer.com had reminded me of this documentary. If you are ever interested to see what went wrong with that, mind you, this is a special feature on the DVD. So it's not like they're actively trying to make Lucas look bad, but he does it all on his own. You see every single bad choice, every single decision that you go, okay, why did you think that it would be a good choice to have Jake Lloyd in this movie? Why did you think that it would be a good choice to have everything be fucking CG? You see it all, and it's this chronicle of this man who has millions of dollars and never gets told no. It's actually Citizen Kane, if it was actually a thing that happened.
It's the same experience watching, because I'm watching the Blu-ray Star Wars movies that have all of the changes transition and stuff like that. Changes that I haven't seen, because I think the last, I had the 2004 box set, so they've made even changes since then. Mm-hmm. Is the version I had before that, and there's all kinds of weird stuff in there. The one that always strikes me is there's the part in the first movie where Obi-Wan scares off the sand people, and they change that roar that he makes, and I was like, what is even the point of that? I guess it's supposed to sound like a crate dragon, which is part of the, I remember that from Knights of the Republic. And I was like, I guess, like, but, like, who's sitting there going, you know what, that roar that we did back in, like, whatever. Like, we need to change that to be more fitting with the Star Wars can. Like, I was like, what's the big deal? Like,
yeah,
it seems like such an unnecessary. Like, I can understand if he wants to add more life to Mos Eisley and all. Like, that I can understand. I don't like it, but I can understand it. It's the weird things that he like changes just like just for the hell of it. Like, I was watching a video yesterday where there's a quip that Mark Hamill makes when R2-D2 falls in the swamp, and he says, like, he spits out and he's like, oh, it's a good thing you're not that tasty. And then he changes it to like, oh, that was a close one. And it's like, what? Why? Like, why did you make that? Like, that's such a dumb choice to
yeah.
make. And I guess they switched that back. That was probably an addition I didn't see, that they made that change, and then they switched it back, I guess, in the new ones, because that's what I just watched. It's just weird little choices like that. Like, I wonder, did he go back and make choices or changes to the prequels like he did to the original ones in the Blu-ray? You guys?
I don't think so, and I wish that he did. Yeah. I really wish. I would love it if they're just like, all right, we're going to re-release, you know, because eventually they're going to re-release the kind of original uncut versions, you know, all prettied up and everything. Like, I would just love it if they're like, George, you get to do the work on the prequels, and like, he takes shit out. Like, what if he went back?
Just go batshit crazy with the prequels.
It'd be great. Like, you have like a Bantha in Coruscant. Like, there's just a Bantha just in the Senate there, or like, you know, like, oh my god, that'd be the best. It'd be the best thing. We went through the original trilogy because they put out a DVD release. I want to say it was in 2006, where they released like the original versions of the movies. Like, it was like a limited edition run that they did. And God, I wish that they would just go through and just make those versions prettier, because watching the re-released versions where they add in all of the stupid, like, here's this singing, here's Jar Jar's palace, and they have this stupid CG scene.
Here's a solo. This,
like, weird ass thing, you know, like the puppet that they had in the original version looked more, you know, like actually looked like it had more life than this crappy CG thing. I want them to just,
well, yeah, because if you look at the side by side, like, it's night and day, like how they cleaned it up and it's brighter and like stuff like that. So yeah. They have to do that. Disney has to do that at some point, because they know people want it and Disney likes money.
I guess.
Yeah, I had heard this. Yes.
So maybe they'll do that at some point, where they'll release a touched up, unaltered version of it.
Yeah.
Not yeah.
Yeah.
And then Han will finally just shoot again, and they don't have to worry about all that nonsense anymore.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, so we'll do Star Wars probably in the next episode. When exactly that'll be, we don't know. And then sometime a while after that, we'll do Game of the Year stuff, and that'll be interesting and fun. And we'll have to figure out how we're even going to do that.
I mean, whatever. It's all pointless, because Game FAQs decided Undertale is the best game of all time.
Okay. Is that game all right?
I don't know. I haven't played it.
Okay.
Have you guys been following any of that stuff? Kotaku did some good reporting on it. Game FAQs was doing their, like, they kind of, you know, do this every so often, where they put up, like, game battles and everything.
Yeah.
And this one was, like, they threw Undertale into there, and it was, like, best games of all time. And, like, you know, I don't know that necessarily Undertale would deserve it for, like, all time, just because it's so new. But whatever, people like it. It seems like it's a good game. But man, people have been flipping their shit over there. I would highly suggest just reading that Kotaku article. It is worth checking out just to see how crazy people have gotten with this stuff.
Yeah,
it's great.
I don't think if you're going to try to put together a list like the greatest games of all times, you got to cut out games from like the last 5 years or something like that to kind of get rid of. You know, the recency of, like, Destiny. Destiny's great.
It's fresh in your mind.
The Taken King, you guys. The Taken King is amazing.
It's even better now, because I can pay $30 and get my character boosted up to level 25. Oh, that's beside the point. But anyways.
Any of you guys try that Spartan Racing League, or whatever they call it? Not Spartan. Yeah, Sparrow. Spartan. Totally different game.
Totally different things, you guys.
Yeah, I tried that. I got back into Destiny for a bit there.
It was all right. I think it's fine, but yeah.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's not the DLC that, you know.
This is not the DLC. This is not the DLC.
That's what you're looking for. Hey, exactly.
Guess what? You're not getting that DLC. They announced that they are not doing the DLC packs.
Right, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to release. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to release another raid or more story. Like,
right?
They still could potentially do that, right, guys? Right?
And it's a long.
They will. They will next November with Destiny 2.
Destiny 2. I mean, so this is what I mean. I think that they talked about a bigger expansion around, what did they say, like February, March, around the same time that The Dark Below came out last year.
Yeah.
Because if you go back in time to Destiny, like, there was a big gap between Destiny, the first release, and Dark Below. It was like 6 months. Yeah. So, like, it makes sense that we're kind of just getting, like, spoon-fed little things. And if they come up with something substantial, maybe not to the level of The Dark Below, but something that is still... You know,
House of Wolvesy.
Yeah, House of Wolvesy, or a nice storyline mission. You know, change up some stuff with the world, kind of like they have done in the past. With maybe Taken's not the immediate threat anymore. Maybe it's something new. You know, whatever it is, I think that's enough to kind of keep fresh, to keep people come back for a couple of weeks, a month, and then go back to their regularly scheduled games that are out. You know, I think that's okay. I think that's kind of all they really need to do. Either way, they're probably going to be successful with Destiny 2 because, damn it, they could put out nothing from now until September and I will still buy Destiny 2.
I know, me too, it's sad.
So whatever. Whatever. All right, that's this episode. I'm Kyle, that's Adam, that's Gus. As always, you can find us on pixelrelated.net. If you want to send us an email, it is feedback@pixelrelated.net. Do we have anything going up on the site? I know there's a couple news things going up. I have a couple reviews that I should be writing about all the adventure games, aka Minecraft, and the new episode of King's Quest, which I'm really excited to play because I love me some King's Quest. Is there anything else going on out there?
Not that I can think of. I might try to do some amount of video content, but I've been dealing with the sinus infection for like the past week and a half, so I kind of barely have my voice back now. But,
you sound good. You sound good.
Yeah.
So
it's better. I can actually talk, so that's good.
That's cool. That's good. So, alrighty. Well, that's it. That's our episode. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next time.